What up, what up, what up, y'all? Hype Mike the Sports Guy coming at you so fly. And we are back. We are back in football season. Shout out to my 12s. Week one of the NFL season, the Seattle Seahawks versus Indianapolis Colts. Y'all, we got a very special episode for y'all coming right now. Got a special guest with me, a Colt fan. We're going to break down the game, the positives, the negatives, everything we saw, we didn't see. Seahawks, that is what I'm talking about. Way to go in there and handle your business. All right? That's what I like to see. Look, we've got a lot of things with this season, particularly us not playing at all our starters in the preseason. Was very disturbed by that. And things really, really ended up working well in this first game of the season. But look, we'll get into that. Seahawks win 28-16. Let me bring in our guest. He is my brother, an adamant Indianapolis Colts fan since forever, really. We're going to bring him on right now. Lloyd Tunstall, what's going on, man? How's it hanging?
Man, this is a tough one. It's a tough week one loss. Demoralizing to hear the chants of Seahawks on your your home field. But thankfully, it's a long season, 17 games. And so we have a lot to learn and to just adjust from.
Yeah, you know, I got to say, I was most encouraged by our defensive line. Our defensive line, you know, you talk about Benson Mayor, Raheem Green, all the way through, Carlos Dunlap, you know what I mean? Puna Ford, we look Brian Monet. We look so much better on our defensive line. I felt like we were pressuring Wentz throughout the entire game. And that overshadowed our lack of cornerback depth. But overall, I didn't feel like Wentz did too bad. I felt like he just had people in his face the whole game.
Yeah, the three names that stuck out to me were Taylor, Monet, and Green. I wrote down that those three in particular, especially Monet, just dominated the line of scrimmage. Yeah. Now, I remember Taylor was drafted, I believe, in the second round out of Tennessee. And I remember when he was drafted, I was thinking he just needs about a year or two in NFL and he's going to be a very good pass rusher. Yeah. And I don't remember hearing about him last year, but this year he has really made his mark like I thought he would. And then credit to the Seahawks. You know, I got to say the Seahawks are day two, day three kings of drafting because Rasheem Green coming out of USC had 10 sacks and he just needed a little bit more time to get to this form. Now he's 4 years in NFL. He's ready to go. And you can see it all across that Seahawks D-line. They're more physical. They were more physical than the Colts. They were in the backfield constantly, and they kept hitting Carson Wentz. And when Carson Wentz gets hit, he doesn't play as well.
Couldn't agree more. Absolutely couldn't agree more. I thought that, you know, what you said about Rasheem Green, Daryl Taylor, shout out to Daryl Taylor coming back from a really rough injury. Looks to be in really, really great shape. Had a fantastic camp. Was supposedly the star of training camp for the Seattle Seahawks. And it's just really good to see some improvement along that D-line. Last year was so nasty. But let's get into that offensive line for the Colts. Yes, I felt like we looked fantastic as a defensive line. Much better. Much, much better than we did last year. We came out the gate last year scoring a bunch of points, but we also gave up a ton of points. We're on track to set the NFL record for points allowed in the season before we started to turn around at the halfway point. But let's speak on that Colts offensive line. I know they didn't have everybody healthy today. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference that you noticed was that, you know, Anthony Costanzo retired. And so we didn't really have the replacement in the offseason. We brought in Eric Fisher, but he's coming off a torn Achilles. He wasn't ready to go week one. And so now you put in a backup tackle in Julian Davenport. And going into the game plan, normally when a team puts in a backup tackle, the quarterback knows, hey, I got to get the ball out quicker. I can't just sit and wait in the pocket like I normally do. Yeah. It's one of my big minuses with Wentz this game. I think he just held on to the ball a little bit too long. But then you also had to give credit to the Seattle defensive line. Monet was getting pressure on Ryan Kelly every snap. Yes. And it just seemed like even on the play where Monet got the encroachment penalty, the way that he put his hands on Kelly and pushed him even into Carson Wentz, I was thinking, my goodness, this guy's just more physical than we are. There's just no debate about it. And it was at that moment that the thought crept into my head, we might not win this ball game. It was at that moment because we were not as physical as the Seattle Seahawks defensive line front. I thought Quentin Nelson played okay, but didn't really give you much like he normally does. Normally he's knocking players over. I didn't really see that aspect of it this game. But then also, you know, it wasn't just the fact that we didn't have a left tackle. Our right tackle was getting beat up by Taylor. And our right tackle, Braden Smith, he's an all-pro, Pro Bowl type player. At least he got paid like it. I mean, he was just recently paid as the highest right tackle in the NFL. So I expected to see more from him this game. We didn't play well, and we looked like it. We looked like a team who hadn't practiced together very long. It was almost like a sense that we were uncomfortable as an offense. And that's why training camp reps are so crucial. That's why older players have spoken out this week. Hey, we've had to play preseason games. Emmitt Smith said it. The running back for the Rams, I'm blanking on his name. He has the goggles. Eric Dickerson. He said it this week. Hey, we have to play preseason games. So when the live action starts, we're ready to go. The Colts weren't ready to go, and it showed on their offensive line, and it definitely showed with Carson Wentz.
I couldn't agree more. One thing that really stood out to me, though, is I felt like us in Seattle, we were giving up something that the Colts weren't necessarily taking, which is Jonathan Taylor's catching ability outside of the backfield. Jonathan Taylor's a guy who was top five in the league in rushing last year, I believe, coming out of the University of Wisconsin. And, you know, I felt like we, for the most part, contained him running the ball. But those short yardage plays for the running back or those T-bubble screens were there. And I felt like maybe because the Colts hadn't had that rhythm in training camp, maybe they hadn't had that repetition, I felt like that kind of showed. And we kind of got a little got a little lucky with that today.
Yeah, I think that we could have utilized Taylor more. I did like how we started the game. Long 14-play drive, but we didn't finish well in the end zone. I think that we, to an extent, we abandoned the run. You have to understand that, especially when you're a new team like the Colts, the run game with Taylor is our bread and butter. When you're dealing with someone like Russell Wilson, what he can do to you is kind of put pressure on you because he makes explosive plays down the field.
Yeah.
20-plus yard plays to Lockett, and we'll talk about him later, but or anybody else, and you feel like, oh, my gosh, well, we have to do something to counter that. And so we're not going to do this run game anymore. We're going to get away from our identity. And it showed throughout the game. I mean, Taylor at one point had 13 carries and only 31 yards. That's not who we are. We're a team that says run the damn ball. We're a team that likes to get explosive plays with our running and then do a lot of play action rollouts off of that. You didn't really see that out of us this game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jonathan Taylor finished with 17 carries for 56 yards. Essentially an average of 3.3 yards per carry. I think that that's really a great point that you made. I felt like, you know, the Colts got away from their bread and butter. And I also feel like, you know, like you said, got to give credit to that Seahawks D-line. I wasn't expecting – I know we made a lot of offseason acquisitions. You know, Kerry Hyder Jr. from the 49ers, who we didn't really see too much flash. But seeing Raheem Green coming out of USC – I think he's a third or fourth year guy for us, and he has really exploded. Took a small leap last season, and really seeing him pop off the screen this year. I'm wondering if that forced the Colts to feel like they needed to get away from their bread and butter.
Not only that, it was also the play of Bobby Wagner on the run. Now, I know Wagner might have had some lapses during the passing game, but the running game, there's a reason why Wagner is an all-pro, and he's still playing at an all-pro level. You could not run the ball on Wagner, even if you got past the D-line. It was he just wasn't having it. Yeah. And it was just almost every play, his nose was at the ball. It was incredible. I think that the Colts really have to get back to the basis of their identity. They've lost that a little bit. Not only has Green played well, but their whole – you know, when the Seahawks lost Jaren Reed and some of those other players that used to be a part of that Legion of Boom class or on the very tail end of it, I thought it would take them longer to retool that defensive line and create pressure.
Yeah.
I thought drafting LJ Collier was a mistake, and I love LJ, but he just wasn't the right fit. But they found other pieces to get that physical style that they play. And if you notice, they didn't even have to really blitz Adams as much.
Yeah.
Adams was a big part of their reason of their sacks last year.
Yeah.
Now they can allow him to play coverage and create plays as he does without having to be on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, speaking of which, you spoke on Jamal Adams, who last year had 9.5 sacks, which is the safety record in the NFL history for sacks. He played a ton at the line of scrimmage last year. Great point. We didn't use him in that role essentially nearly as much as we did at the beginning of last season, throughout the entire season last year. Really, really great point. Let's flip it really quick. Let's talk Seahawks offense, Colts defense. You mentioned Russell Wilson, 18 of 23, 254 yards, 4 touchdowns. Really felt like Russell was calm today. He was locked in. I thought the Colts did a great job switching it up at times, but I thought Russell maintained his composure throughout the day and didn't press and just really had a really good game.
Yeah, Russell Wilson just showed he's in MVP mode. It felt a lot like what you saw out of him at the beginning of last year.
Yeah.
He's in a zone that you just can't really compete with. And when he has a team like he has, and when you give him time and the offensive line is doing their job in blocking, and he has Chris Carson with the running game, if Russell Wilson has a running game, he's even deadlier because now you have more to try to take account for. He played exceptional. He didn't try to do too much. He was extremely accurate. He protected the football. He ran when he needed to. But as a whole, defensively, two players on the Colts stood out for me, and that was Darius Leonard and DeForest Buckner.
Yeah,
I really like the way that those two specifically stepped up when they needed to. Leonard creating the fumble on Chris Carson and DeForest Buckner getting the sack when it was really needed. But at the same time, we're running too high, and we're getting beat by Tyler Lockett down the field. And credit to Russell Wilson, but really towards the end of that first half, we really needed a stop. And that big play going into the half with the Seahawks getting the ball back was extremely demoralizing. It's hard to win football games when you give up explosive 70, 80-yard football plays. It's just hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that the Colts, I saw moments of flashing in regards to the defensive line penetration or blitz, I should say. But I was really wanting to see more from a guy like Kwity Paye, the rookie coming out of the University of Michigan. Didn't flash today. Maybe it's going to take a little bit more time, but I do agree with you 100%. I think that for the Colts defense, you know, I felt like more pressure on Russell Wilson was necessary. And like you said, you're talking about too high. There's no reason Tyler Lockett should be able to get behind that. I mean, there's no reason for that.
No. And with Kwity Paye, you have to give credit to Duane Brown. I know he just got re-signed and reworked his contract. But he was in all-pro form, too. It looked like he just stonewalled Kwity Paye as soon as he got off the ball. And Kwity Paye, you know, as a rookie with all these expectations and having a good preseason and almost, I think he averaged a sack during every preseason game, he really got his welcome to the NFL moment this game. You know, this isn't preseason anymore. You have to give a secondary rush move. You can't just try to beat someone using your speed and athletic ability. That's not going to work here.
You know, couldn't agree with that more. Looking at Kwity Paye's numbers, I don't see that he had, from what it looks like, it doesn't look like Kwity Paye had a single, oh no, he had 3 tackles. He had two solo tackles and 1 tackle for loss. So not as explosive as looking forward to him, but like you said, a welcome to the NFL type of moment. Let's talk a little bit about that run defense. Chris Carson, 16 carries, 91 yards, an average of 5.7 yards per carry. I felt like Chris Carson and the Seahawks running game really established the tempo of the game. I feel like that enabled us to have more opportunities to go with the deep ball, have more opportunities to go with the short passing because we were so dominant. Chris Carson, so explosive with the run offense.
Yeah, overall, Carson really set the tone from the jump. You know, and even before this game, you know, I would see videos of Chris Carson's workouts and some of the stuff he was doing was just, I haven't seen before, you know, someone do. And I was thinking, wow, he looks really sharp. He looks like he's going to be ready to go. But I didn't expect this type of performance. the type of performance Carson gave showed, hey, not only am I still a good back, I'm a top 10 back in the NFL when I'm healthy. You don't need to rely on Rashard Penny. You don't need to bring in DJ Dallas. Those guys, I don't even know why you drafted Rashard Penny in the first round anyway. You know, because in reality, like I said, the Seahawks are the day two, day three draft kings.
Yeah.
I'm that guy, Chris Carson said. He ran physical, he ran tough, and he just looked, every time the Colts tackled him, he fell forward.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. It was almost, I think even the announcer said it. Has Chris Carson had a negative play? It was really an astounding performance from his part. You know, I thought he had well over 100 yards. I you know, but he just made his presence known throughout the game.
I mean, I think it makes it tough on a guy like Darius Leonard, who ended up with 5 solo tackles, who was all over the field. But, you know, you mentioned to me 2 guys, DeForest Buckner and Darius Leonard. Those are the only 2 guys you felt really stood out in regards to the Colts defense. And I feel like Darius Leonard kind of had too much. He had so much coming at him, and I didn't feel like he had enough help on the defensive side of the football.
He didn't have enough help, and he didn't have enough help from his counterpart, Robbie Okereke. You know, I thought Okereke was going to have a big standout performance game, but he really detailed in one play what the game was overall. And it was the play where he tried to tackle Will Dissly. I think it's the tight end coming back from Achilles. And Dissly just knocked him over, just steamrolled him. And I was thinking, well, that's just befitting for what this game is. We're just getting steamrolled. And, you know, it really – the Colts were a top 5 finishing defense last season. And I thought, if anything, we can pack our hats on that, on the fact that we have a top 5 finishing defense. We're returning most of our players. We didn't really lose any talent on the defensive side, and everybody's coming into this first game pretty healthy. But if you look at how we played, Russell Wilson really exposed the work that's needed on our defense. Corey Willis got burned twice. DK Metcalf got in our head early. They were more physical. It was almost like we were being bullied. And it was astounding to see, because we're a top 5 finishing defense coming off of last year, being bullied by this team that really, in question, you wondered what were they going to be offensively because of their offensive line. Not necessarily because of Russell Wilson or the receivers, but you thought there's question marks there somewhere on the offensive line. Well, those questions have been answered. I hate to say it. They've been answered.
And, you know, you make a good point about the offensive line. I want to see – this is my thing about the Seahawks offensive line. I want to see what's it going to look like, because I felt like the Colts are still getting in the groove of it. I felt like the D-line wasn't bringing the heat that we may see from the Colts later on. I mean, you look at I thought, like you mentioned Dwayne Brown earlier, I thought he had a fantastic game, you know, especially not playing in preseason, not doing training camp. This is a 36-year-old vet here. He's a veteran. He came in and he locked up the left side. Really love to see that. Yeah, I want to see what, you know, adding Gabe Jackson this offseason from the Oakland Raiders. Thought he did a fantastic job. Thought Ethan Posick did as well as can be expected. I thought he did solid. I want to see what it looks like when we're facing against a team like, you know, a team like, I mean, you're not going to get too many teams like this, but the Washington football team with their incredible front seven. Like, what is our defense going to look like against the 49ers defense? When you're talking about, you know, Nick Bosa coming at us. How are we going to handle it then? And I felt like the Colts have the potential for that. I just didn't see the explosion for that, you know?
Yeah, and I think, to your point, I think it really starts having guys that can really push the line of scrimmage on the inside besides just Buckner. Yeah. Grover Stewart's not – we need a guy like a Monet. Well, Monet can really push that line of scrimmage physically on the inside. I think if you're talking to the Seahawks offensive line – they have some real veterans on that team. Gabe Jackson, Dwayne Brown. The rookie that they drafted out of LSU seems like he's progressed.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Ethan Polchick is a solid center. So they have the right pieces in place to be successful. They've answered a lot of the questions about, can they run the football? They can run the football, and they can protect Russell Wilson. I do think it'll be more interesting to see how they do, like you said, against some of those maybe more nuanced pass rushers of a Bosa, Chandler Jones, someone like that that's in their division might give them challenges. But this is a really good start for that offensive line week 1. This is something that they can build off of and carry into those following weeks.
Couldn't agree with you more. Damian Lewis, the second-year guard coming out of LSU, you made a great point about him, already starting to have a fantastic jump to the beginning of the season. Let's talk a little bit about that Colts passing defense versus the Seahawks receivers today. Really, I know, correct me if I'm wrong here, Lloyd, the Colts had a top three pass defense in regards to the 2020 season. Really felt like Tyler Lockett in particular got loose versus the Colts today. Thought DK Metcalf was frustrated with him at the beginning of the game, didn't want the taunting call after the touchdown, after our touchdown by our new tight end, Everett, who we got from the Rams, really, really was frustrated with him at the beginning, but he continued to do his part. He drew a lot of double coverage, I felt like, and Tyler Lockett really, really got loose. Gerald Everett, I meant to say his first name, the tight end we got from the Rams, really thought he ingratiated himself really well today. But if you look at a Tyler Lockett, four receptions, 100 yards, two touchdowns, and then a DK Metcalf, quieter game, four receptions, 60 yards, still got a touchdown. But really like what I saw from the passing offense of the Seahawks today. Like I said, Gerald Everett came in, only gave us 20 yards, but gave us another touchdown himself. So Russell Wilson was really able to distribute the ball fairly evenly around. Will Disley got in on the action. Chris Carson, our rookie, Dwayne Eskridge, really had a great start with some sweep outs. But overall, felt like the passing game was in midseason form. Tell us about that Colts defense, specifically passing the football.
Yeah, I think that this defense, this Colts passing defense, has really kind of taken a step back from what I saw last year. Mm-hmm. Julian Blackman didn't play as well as I thought he would. And then Kari Willis, you just can't get beat in too high. In a too high look, you're the deepest part of the field. So no one should be able to run past you. I thought, as much trouble as I've given him, I thought Rocky Sin didn't play horribly. Mm-hmm. I thought TJ Carey made a very nice play on a pass breakup. But just overall, in terms of not getting beat deep, you can't give up explosive plays to someone like Russell Wilson. He will kill you every time. I thought that DK Metcalf would be the one that had the big game, but it was really Tyler Lockett that led the charge. I saw us playing better defensively in the secondary before the game started. But as the game was going on, I was thinking, I don't know what to expect from our pass defense. We had some plays where we're doing holding calls. We had some plays where we have issues with alignment, especially the play with Kenny Moore lined up against DK Metcalf one-on-one. It was just really a questionable play call from a defensive standpoint because given the size differential, why would you try to align someone, Kenny Moore, someone who's 5'9", against a 6'6 receiver like DK Metcalf, who can just overpower you. Really questionable stuff there. But like I said, the biggest positive out of this whole game is probably the fact that there's 17 games this season and we have an opportunity to improve.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I really couldn't agree more with you about that. You know, I thought there were some things that were, like you mentioned, in regards to that one-on-one matchup versus DK, it made me question the focus of what was going on. But you mentioned, like you said, there are literally 16 more games. We have our first 17-game season. And I'm looking at the NFC South. I'm looking at Houston. Houston went 1-0, but everyone else in the NFC South lost today. I feel like this Colts team has plenty of time, and quite frankly, one of the weakest divisions in football, to come back, get a good rhythm going, take the lead in this division. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible. I think that this is not uncharted territory if you're a Colts fan. We've started off losing the first game now 8 times in a row. We haven't won a week one game since 2013. We remember 2 years ago when we started off the season 1-5. So battling adversity is not an issue with us. It does suck because you want to get off to a good start. But now it teaches me to know, it kind of builds a callus in me that I don't want to week one overreact because I know that that's possible too.
Yeah.
In reality, we have to look at this game as it is. Carson Wentz played very well starting off, very great. Over the game, as the course of the game went on, he didn't take as many deep shots. We didn't really play to win the game. It was almost like we were out there and it was a training camp session on our end, it felt like. Like we were just trying to run plays and get a feel instead of trying to win a ball game. That was really disappointing overall. Some takeaways is that Eric Fisher will be back soon. And so hopefully we can build off of this, the things that we did well, and just continue to go forward.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, looking at the Colts schedule going down the line, you look at these next four games, the Rams versus the Colts, you know, the NFC West really, really has had a, you know, a really good day today. You know, look at the Cardinals with their victory. You look at the Niners with their demolishing of, I believe it was the Titans today. I could be wrong about that. But whoever they faced, the Niners demolished them.
Yeah.
And, you know, the NFC West is really strong. And then I'm looking over at, like I said, at the Colts versus the Rams next week. I think that's going to be a great game. But then if you look at the rest of the schedule for the Indianapolis Colts, next four or five games, Colts at Rams, Colts at Titans, Colts at Dolphins. The next game I see that's really going to be competitive, you look at the Colts versus Ravens, October 11th. I think the Colts have plenty of time to turn to really get going in regards to, like you said, going from preseason mode to in-season mode.
Yeah, they're going to have to turn things around pretty quickly. They play the Tennessee Titans twice before Halloween.
Wow.
Normally, that's the schedule. The schedule has it to where there's one game kind of on the back end of the season. November, even closer to December. This year, we're getting everything done pretty quick. So we don't have as much time to kind of wait around and find our identity. Go back to it again and again, but it's the importance of training camp. We got to find out what kind of team we have. The Seahawks found that out today. Russell Wilson's already in form. DK Metcalf's in form. Tyler Lockett's in form. Chris Carson's in form. Dwayne Brown's in form. Monet's in form, Taylor's in form, Green's in form. Everybody's in form. You guys are like a transformer. Everybody is ready to go. We have a lot of question marks as to who we are and what do we do well. Those are really crucial things you have to figure out week one, week two, and week three. That month of September, it's all about finding out your identity. And teams that the quicker teams find that out, the better seasons they typically have. I even look back at last year when we had Phillip Rivers. I wasn't as stressed about us losing because even when we lost to Jacksonville week one, the thought in my mind went, oh, we know who we are. We have an identity. We have a sense of this is what we do well. The thing that concerns me most about the game I just saw is the Colts really don't have that identity yet. What do we do well? We don't really run the ball well. We saw that today because we got out physical at the line of scrimmage and we didn't get much rushing yards. We don't pass the ball down the field well. We don't know how to line up during plays well. The fourth down fumble on fourth and one shouldn't have happened. The fourth down sack on Carson Wentz shouldn't have happened. Those are errors that get corrected during training camp. So that's the stuff that kind of irks at you if you're a Colts fan. The stuff that you shouldn't be doing, that you are doing, that really slows down that building of your identity.
Honestly, couldn't agree with that more. I mean, that's the truth. It's all about identity. When I look at what I saw from us today in regards to the Seattle Seahawks, defensive line, defensive line, defensive line. Yes, I loved what I saw offensively with DK Metcalf, Russell Wilson, and Chris Carson. But excluding Chris Carson, who was injured a lot of last year, I've seen that before. I've seen a powerful offensive attack. What concerned me the most was how are we going to look defensively? And I felt like our defensive line really stood out. And you mentioned Daryl Taylor and Bobby Wagner, our front seven. I think our front seven today was able to cover up Trey Flowers, DJ Reed, our two starting corners, who, quite frankly, there are still questions about. When you have a powerful front seven, people getting to the quarterback, it covers up the DBs or the lack of DB strength at that position. So to your point, I agree with that. I love seeing that from us. Our identity seems to be in our defensive line and in our front seven on defense. And running the ball and having good play calling. Got a new play caller, Shane Waldron from the Rams. He was the offensive something with the Rams, basically offensive game planner with the LA Rams. We signed him as our offensive coordinator. Really like what I saw from him offensively. But the thing that impressed me the most was defensively. I do agree with you. I think that, you know, when I look at the Colts, there's going to be a little time where they've got to adjust and figure out who they are. The beautiful thing is they do have time to do that. But like you said, they do play Tennessee twice. Tennessee is not going to be like they were today every week. They're going to find a way to turn it around with Derrick Henry and Ryan Fitzpatrick. They're going to be a tough team going forward. And you guys are going to have a tough schedule, but adjustments can be made. I didn't think Wentz played a bad game. He didn't have training camp. You're right. You're absolutely right. And quite frankly, I'm not – I mean, he did have training camp, but he was with COVID and injuries and, you know, essentially missing all of preseason. So I think you're absolutely right. That is essential. But seeing what I saw from him with missing a full preseason, I can't wait to see him when he's really comfortable and in good form with you all.
Yeah, it's been a bunch of nonsense with Wentz, and it's been frustrating. It's been frustrating. But this is what you get when you don't practice. We didn't deserve to win this football game. We didn't have a quarterback that felt comfortable with the offense and that was willing to take shots down the field, especially after Russell Wilson did that long pass before the half.
Yeah,
I was thinking, I know second half we're going to at least make some effort to get some explosive plays. In my mind, explosive plays are 20-plus yard passing the football plays, and we didn't do that.
Yeah,
we didn't do it.
Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. But I'm excited to see the change that happened with it. You know, speaking of the Colts schedule, the Seahawks schedule, we face the Titans ourselves next Sunday, September 19th, followed by the Vikings on the 26th, and then our first division game, October 3rd. My 12s really like what I saw today, but look, can't get too happy. All right, we've already seen us have a powerful offense. Then midseason last year, it went all the way down. So stay the course, stay focused. All right, don't get too giddy and excited over this game. All right, there's a lot of football left to play. Same with the Colts fans. Like you said, there's no need to panic. We learned today, okay, we need to figure out who we are. And that's what I feel like. Seahawks, we're blessed. We know who we are, but maintain the course. Last year, we got off course and we got sloppy. All right, this year really liked our start, our discipline. Think we can continue in this regard. We might be something special. Any final thoughts from you, Lloyd? What are your thoughts on the Colts and going forward?
Yeah, we got to shore up that offensive line. I mean, we need Eric Fisher back as quickly as possible. I think that could have helped a little bit today. And then we have to continuously just commit to the run game. I know that's part of our identity. It was a lot last year. Get back to what we do best and don't run away from it when we're down. Continue doing and building who you are.
Ooh, I love it. I love that. Continue building who you are. That needs to be the motto for this football season. Hype Mike, the sports guy, coming at you so fly. Y'all, I am excited for this football season. We're going to be trying to break this thing down once a week. I'm super excited going forward for this football season, for the Seattle Seahawks, for the Colts, for anybody that loves football. This is for y'all. Love y'all. Hype Mike, the sports guy, coming at you so fly. Like I said, my brother Lloyd Tunstall, the biggest Colts fan I know. Hey, thank you for coming on the show. Really appreciate it, man.
Man, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we'll see you all next week. Thank y'all. Love y'all. Shout out to my 12s. Peace.